So for the third time in the Gospel of Mark, actually the third and final time in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus predicts his passion, his suffering. He tells his disciples and those that are following him as he's going to Jerusalem that he's going to Jerusalem to die, that he is going to be handed over to the authorities. The authorities are going to sentence him to death. And then Jesus goes actually even into more detail than he does the prior times. He tells his disciples, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be spat upon and mocked, and finally killed. This is why he's going to Jerusalem. But it's like the disciples are just deaf and blind. They don't even hear what Jesus is saying. It doesn't even register, because as soon as Jesus is done saying this, two of the disciples, James and John, come up before him and ask, hey, we want you to do us a favor. And actually, in the language, it's even more forceful than that. It's we want you to do what we're going to ask you to do. It's like a command. Do for us what we're going to ask you. And that's before they even say what they want. And so they ask Jesus, you know, when you're in glory, we want to sit on your left hand and on your right. But these guys, they don't get it. Because glory for them, the glory that Christ is coming into for them, it's earthly. It's something tangible. After all, Jesus is marching up to the city of King David, a place where a king of Israel would sit, and they have this kind of earthly glory in mind. And they want a piece of it. They want to be in the places of honor next to Jesus when he gets there. And even though Jesus explains to them, kind of using figurative language, they still don't get it. You don't understand what you're talking about, he says. Do you think you can drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? Do you think you can be baptized in the baptism I'm going to be baptized in? And this isn't a water baptism. This is essentially a baptism of blood. Jesus is referring to his suffering. Later on, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he'll pray, Lord, if it's your will, take this cup from me. He's talking about his suffering. James and John, they don't get it. Like, yeah, we can do that. And then Jesus says, well, it's not for me to decide who sits on my left and right. That is up to God the Father. And then the other disciples get angry, not because they're rebuking James and John, but because James and John got there first. They have eyes, but they do not see, ears, but they do not hear. These disciples, they want to be known. They're craving some glory. They want to be served, and they want to be recognized in their service to God. My jaded nature about politics is going to come out here for a second. I hope you're okay with that. Although I expect that most of us probably share the same jaded nature. In the presidential races, the Democratic Party has all those candidates up there. It's been wheeled down now, but when they first started, the stage wasn't big enough for all the candidates up there to debate, right? And it was the same when the Republicans were trying to find their nomination back in 16. The stage was full of people applying, essentially, for the highest job in the land. And the disciples kind of remind me of people standing on that stage debating their way towards the presidency. And in my jaded nature, I find it really hard to believe that any of the people standing on that stage are seeking the presidency in absolute humility and in a desire to truly serve and be a sacrificial leader for the United States of America. In my mind, they're all up there for their own glory, seeking after something, seeking after power. Even if they know they have no chance of winning, they know there's something in it for them if they get up there on that stage. They're like the disciples, craving glory, wanting to be known, wanting in a way to be served, or at least to be recognized in their service to God, where we are like this. We're selfless or selfish. We're a self-centered people. When I worked at Park River Bible Camp, one of the jobs that was part of my description, the part that I liked the least, was to go and to try and raise money for the camp. And this meant just going to people and asking them for donations, sometimes small, sometimes big. But when I got there, I realized that there were a couple really big fish out in the sea with some pretty big pocketbooks, bigger than I'll ever have. And so they were always on my radar, and I would talk to them and try to get on their good side and try to, you know, play out some dollars to get the camp going and running and maybe build a new building. But it drove me nuts doing it because they wanted their names on buildings. One of them actually wanted a little monument out in front of the chapel in honor of his brother. It was just ridiculous what people wanted. They wanted to give to this ministry, but they still wanted to be known. They wanted to be served. They wanted to be recognized. It's like they wanted to sit at the right hand or at the left. Now, that's not most of us, right? We're not quite like that, hopefully, and certainly a better people, each and every one of you. I'd vote for any of you more than I'd vote for any other person right now for president. You're all just good people. But these attitudes that the disciples have, I think we can find in ourselves too. We can see it in small ways. Small ways that we maybe crave recognition or just to be served or acknowledgement of us. You know, we see it in the work we do at home, the way we serve our families, our communities, our churches. We want that pat on the back. We also see the attitude of the disciples in us in the way we treat other people. Wait staff, cooks, retail, teachers, students, medical staff, children, employees. But for Jesus, it all boils down to this one thing, a thing that he embodies. That is that whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. To all. There's no exclusions there. Jesus wants us to be servant, and actually the word here is strong, to be slave to all. For even as the Son of Man came to not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. No exclusions. Christ tells us that the attitude and the life of a follower of Jesus is supposed to look different than any other person in the world. And it is marked by humble service to your neighbor, and your neighbor is everyone. How do we become a servant like Christ describes? How do we be like this? You know, Mark in his gospel is, and all the gospel writers are great like this, that they highlight certain passages of Scripture and sometimes in different order, in different places, and they do this to highlight certain things and to bring to the fore certain things. So right as you have all these disciples being selfish and seeking glory and honor and talking about where they're going to sit next to Jesus, right after that, you see blind Bartimaeus. A person who is at his weakest. He's sitting on the road and he's collecting alms. That's the only way he can get by. And he hears that Jesus is coming by, and all he does is shout for mercy. Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, have pity on me. Have mercy on me. He recognizes who the great servant is. And he knows that he has nothing to give to Jesus. That all he can do is hope to be served by Jesus. It's the attitude that God wants in us. And it stands as a foil to the attitude of the disciples. And it's ironic that the one who truly sees Jesus as who he is, as the one who can bring salvation, as help, as mercy, is the one who's blind. It's the blind man who sees Jesus for who he truly is. He cries for mercy, and Christ gives it. The beggar offers nothing, but is simply ready to receive what Jesus would give him. We become true servants of Christ when we first see who we are, that we have nothing to offer Jesus, that we have no right or claim to sit anywhere near him. We become true servants of Christ when we see that we are a beggar at the side of the road and are desperate for him. We become true servants of Christ when we cry out for mercy and he gives it to us. And then what does the man do? He gets up and he follows Jesus. He goes where Jesus would go. We are servants when Christ first serves us. And when Christ first serves us and we receive from him, then we follow him and we go into the world and we be servants likewise. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful Father, help us to see just how truly needy and desperate we are to receive the mercy that you would have for us. And as we receive mercy, O Lord, and as we receive your forgiveness, your grace, help us as servants to give it to all that we come in contact with. Refresh us daily by your word and keep us in true service to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.